Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I am really excited to be here with you guys today to talk about this message that has been on my list to share with you guys this week specifically for a very specific reason. It is not necessarily Valentine's Day, even though this episode is coming out on Valentine's Day, but it is to do with what week of the year it is, okay? So you guys may or may not have heard the statistic that studies show that this week of the year, about the sixth week into the year, is when the majority of people start to give up on their New Year's goals or their New Year's resolutions or whatever you call it. And I've heard this statistic before, but I've never really looked into it for myself. And if you pay attention to normal society at all, you don't really need a study or a statistic to tell you what most of us already know, that it doesn't take very long for the average person to give up on their goals. And that just happens to be a bigger statistic right after New Year's, but you know this to be true at any point in the year. So even if, you know, it's partway through the year and you decide, hey, I'm going to get serious, I'm going to start doing my budget, or I'm going to start this new meal plan or start exercising or whatever your goal is, even if it's partway through the year, about 6 weeks in, it's not going to be fresh. It's not going to be exciting and brand new. It's not going to be sparkly, shiny, and new, right? It's going to be 6 weeks worn in. Kind of like getting a new pair of shoes and you're just like, yay, I have a new pair of shoes. I can't wait. I want to wear them with every single outfit. And about 6 weeks in, you've gotten them muddy. You've gotten them stained. You've overworn them and you're kind of burnt out on them, right? I hope you love my shoe metaphor. That's kind of how our goals feel, right? We're really excited about them when they're brand new and shiny, but we're not really that excited about them when we're kind of burnt out on them, when we've gotten them all muddy and messy. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this statistic? Other than just saying like, yeah, well, everyone does it. Everyone gives up. No one really achieves their goals or their New Year's resolutions. It's just what you do. It's whatever. It's normal. That, to me, is not okay. That's an excuse. That's an easy way out. That's passing the blame to quote-unquote norms of society. It's not okay for me, right? And this specific study, which I will link to in the show notes, is from 2015, and it says that 80% of the people who set New Year's resolutions will give up on them about the second week of February. So about 6 weeks in or so. Okay. 80%. And to me, I'm just the way I guess my brain is wired. Instead of being the person who says, well, the majority of people are giving up, oh, well, at least I'm normal, you know, I see it as a challenge. I don't want to be a statistic. Do you really want to be a statistic? No. Like when I hear the statistics about, I think it's like 70 something percent, 73, 76, something like that, percent of people live paycheck to paycheck. I hear that statistic and I think, I can do better than that. I don't want to be that normal. I don't want to be average. I want to be living in abundance. I want to be above average. I want to be living my best life. I don't want to be stuck in this normal, okay, average statistics. You know, I see it as a challenge. So 80%. But on the flip side of that, there are 20% of people who are making it happen, who are digging into their goals, who are getting their hands dirty, who are putting in the sweat, the tears, the hard work. They're making the sacrifices, 20% of the people. So let's focus on that 20%. Let's focus on you being in that 20%, because it doesn't say 0%. So apparently somebody's doing it. Somebody's doing it. And I want to be in that top 20%. And I want you to be there with me. Okay. And I used to be one of those people who would set New Year's resolutions and forget about them or not set them at all because I thought it was so cliche and that's so cheesy and I'm just way too cool for that, which, side note, I've never been cool. But I thought I was. I thought I was too good for that. And it got me nowhere. It got me into debt. It got me into a strained marriage. It got me into not feeling fulfilled in my motherhood, in my life as a human being outside of my husband and my children. I felt like that was it. I didn't really have a purpose other than them, which is obviously a great purpose, but I need to exist outside of them. You know, all these goals that I'm working on now never existed. Last year, I decided that one of my goals was going to be to listen to the audio version of the Bible in its entirety in a year. And I found an app, which is the Holy Bible app. It's free. It's the YouVersion. It's amazing. And I found the chronological reading plan where it breaks it down for you to listen to the audio Bible in an entire year. And I thought to myself, how many people in the world are living paycheck to paycheck? I beat that statistic. How many people are debt free or not debt free? I guess I should say I beat that statistic. And then I looked up the statistic, which I cannot remember off the top of my head. So give it a Google if you're interested, which is what I did when I was interested, of the people in the world that have read the Bible in its entirety. And it was a very low percentage. I'm feeling like maybe 40, 60%. It was pretty low from what I thought it would be. And I thought, another statistic that I've beaten. You know, and that is just like a badge of just achievement that you get to carry. And it's so much more than just saying, oh, I'm debt free, or oh, I weigh X number of pounds, you know, I'm so in shape, or you know, the actual achievement. It's the heart work that happens, I think, in the progress. It's the in-between. It's the journey that makes you stronger because you did it and you didn't give up, right? And I just, it breaks my heart that there is 80% of the people who are feeling beaten down, who have given up on their dreams, on their goals. Because it's the second week of February. That's not a good enough reason to me. I don't care what day of the year it is. I don't care if you haven't even set any 2019 goals. Who cares? Who cares what day it is? It's today. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the calendar says. It matters that you're alive today, and that's all that matters. Right? And I think that it's just heartbreaking to me that so many of us have given up. Like I said, I used to be there, you guys. So I understand. So this article is from the U.S. News, and I read through it, and I'm going to link to it again, like I said. But basically what it's saying is that, you know, you get that New Year's high, which we've talked about back at the beginning of the year. You know, you get that New Year's high, you get that clean slate that, you know, hey, it's going to be different, that extra motivation. And I used to think that was so cliche, so cheesy. I'm not one of those people, new year, new me, blah, blah, blah. That sounds so cheesy. But you guys, if that's what you need to spark your motivation, who cares if it's cheesy? Right? Who cares? So if you got motivated at the new year, that's awesome. If you didn't and you rolled your eyes and you thought it was cliche, okay, start now. It's that simple. You have two options. You got motivated at the beginning of New Year or you didn't. Either way, it's still today and you have another chance, okay? So basically what it's saying in this article is that I'll read this quote for you. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but it's really good, so you should go and read it. It's pretty short. But the unfortunate truth is that change, all change, entails some degree of emotional friction, right? Which in turn generates a heated state we all call stress. Whether you're feeling anxious, depressed, frustrated, fatigued, weak, and out of control, or simply bored, emotional friction or stress becomes the high-octane fuel of failure. When it comes to handling the stress involved in change, many well-adjusted, happy, overweight, out-of-shape people share the fundamental problem of self-sabotage. Self-sabotage. Okay, and there's more to this. Like I said, I'm not going to read it all to you. But I think that calling it what it is so important. It is self-sabotage. And yeah, that's what it is. We feel anxious about it. We feel we don't know the unknown. We're depressed. And you guys, I've felt some real depression. I mean, crushing depression. And I know the physical toll that it takes on your body. Getting up to eat, to care for your children, to shower, to clean your house. The basic things become a struggle. I know that. So taking on something big, like a big goal, just seems you can't even fathom it, okay? Which we're going to talk about that in just a second, of some things that you can do. I know anxiety will kill all of your goals. Depression, frustration because it didn't go right the first time, or fatigue. You're exhausted. All the things you have to do, and God forbid you put one more thing on your plate because you're already exhausted. Or you're simply bored. It's not exciting to be on a diet or to be on a budget or to stay home or whatever it is, to work extra, to go back to school. It's not that exciting. It's kind of boring, right? But you guys, all of those things are just self-sabotage. Yes, they're real. But they're just obstacles, okay? So this article gives you a few suggestions, five to be exact, and I'm going to give you some more of my own in a minute, but it basically says that some of the steps that you can do to help you overcome this 6 week like slump that you're probably feeling right about now. Number one is to think small, begin with a small success, you know? And to me, especially if you're in a state of overwhelm, depression, anxiety, something like that, where everything feels so overwhelming, I think that a small step is the only thing that you should worry about right now. You know, if you need to get your house under control, like your house is just a disaster, start with one chore, one thing at a time. Do the dishes. When the dishes are done, vacuum the floor. When the floor is vacuumed, clean the bathroom. You know, don't think, oh, my whole house is a mess, right? Break it down. And that can be a metaphor for any other goal that you have. If you are overwhelmed, think small and just focus on that one thing until it's done, and then focus on the next thing. And this is coming from someone who suffers from a lot of anxiety, depression, overwhelm. Totally been there this week, right? It's real, but it's not something that we have to let sabotage our dreams and our goals, okay? Number two is to build self-trust. And I think a lot of this one, you know, it goes into details in the article, but I think a lot of this one is basically about, you know, lying to yourself. You've told yourself you're going to change, and guess what? You're lying to yourself again. You know, and you have to trust yourself. You wouldn't accept lying out of your spouse, your partner, your children, your friends, your family. If they lied to you, if they said they were going to do something and didn't follow through, how would you react? You would be pretty upset. You would, if it was your children or your spouse, you would give them a lecture about that's not how we act in this family. We don't tell lies. But are you lying to yourself when you say, no, I'm gonna get up. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to splurge and buy things that I don't need. I'm not going to go out to eat this week. I'm going to cook at home. And then you lie to yourself. How can you trust yourself anymore? And why do you accept that behavior from yourself when you wouldn't expect it from somebody else? You wouldn't accept it from somebody else, I should say, right? Okay, so third on their list was invent challenges, which was actually on my list as well. So we'll go into that a little more in detail when I jump over to my list. And I say jump over because I literally have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tabs open on my computer as I'm reading this to you. Number four on their list is cultivate optimism, which you guys may or may not know that I'm a pretty big fan of positive thinking and, I don't know, maybe living on the brighter side of life. Totally cheese intended on that one. But cultivate optimism, like find the positives of it. You know, you might have to stay home more so you don't spend money. But the flip side, the positive side of that is you get quality time with your family, right? You get cuddles on the couch with your kids instead of sitting in a cold movie theater watching a movie. Or you get a good conversation over dinner at home versus being in a loud restaurant having a meal out. And there's always a negative and a positive to every single situation. But it is when you choose to find the positive. Yeah, I get tired of frozen pizzas. I would rather order a pizza. Or I get tired of watching Netflix at home when I would rather go out and do something exciting. We all do. We all get bored. Like we said earlier, boredom is a form of that friction that will cause you to self-sabotage. But instead of focusing on the boredom, the negative side of it, find the positive of it. There is a positive of it. Even if it takes you a minute to find it, it's there. It's there. Okay. So number five is to develop critical awareness, which I thought was so awesome. I think it's something that a lot of people don't really talk about as much as they should. And I could probably have a whole episode on this, which I'll spare you today. But it's basically talking about enough of us don't have our own critical awareness. It's kind of like you can spot someone else's problems from a mile away. You can give your sister or your best friend the best advice about her marriage or her career or her health, her style and fashion choices, but you don't see your own at all, right? You don't see how your outfit looks like a hot mess, but you definitely see how hers does, right? It's just this form of we don't want to see our flaws. There is also the other side of that for women who are overly critical of themselves, which we're going to talk about that in a minute as well. But you have to notice when you're doing things that are against your ultimate goals. And we have to be aware. Critical awareness. The article says, living without self-awareness is like driving your car at night without the headlights. With the headlights off. Technically, you can still drive, but you will eventually have a collision. With awareness, you shed light on your destructive habit. So it's the same, like you're just going blindly through your life. Are you noticing what you're doing at all? Okay, so I'll link to this article so you can read the whole thing. You can share it on social media because I think that it is so important to get this message out and to let people know that, you know, maybe they are slipping up. Maybe they are failing in their goals already. Quote unquote failing. Like maybe they already are slipping up, letting them slide, falling off the wagon, whatever you want to call it. And they're beating themselves up about it. So I think that knowing that it is so common and knowing a few ways that you could fix it instead of just chalking it up to, oh, well, everyone gives up on their New Year's resolutions. That's not okay. Okay. And actually what brought this statistic to my awareness was the Cultivate What Matters team, the creators of the Power Sheets, do a whole Cultivate What Matters day for this exact reason because of this study, because obviously their business is goal setting and they don't want you to give up on your goals. That's what they do. So they have this whole thing about it. And I didn't even know that this statistic even existed until a year or two ago when I first started following Cultivate What Matters. But their action steps, they have three action steps on their blog, which I'll also link to. So many good resources, you guys. No reason to not be informed on this and everyone's action steps for it. But they said, right now, open your power sheets to page 64. And if you don't have the power sheets, reference your goals, wherever you've written your goals down. Side note, if you haven't written your goals down, write your goals down. Even if it's February, doesn't matter. They're still goals. They still matter. Okay. So they say, read through your goals again. And ask yourself, what goals have you made the least amount of progress on? Which ones have you been putting off? You know, what can you work on right now? Okay, that's number three on theirs, actually. Choose one action step you can take right now. Something, it can take 5 minutes. You can make a phone call, send an email. You know, write out a grocery list, a meal plan. That's it. One little action step and you've made at least a little bit of progress. And their number two, I read them out of order because that's what I do apparently. have a goal in mind. It says have a goal in mind. Revisit your why. Remind yourself why these goals, whatever your goal is. If your goal is to set up your budget, to start working out, to start eating healthy, to have less screen time, whatever your goal is, why did you do that goal in the first place? You know, what was your ultimate reason? So one of my big goals, which one of my hard goals for the year, obviously I have so many goals for the year, but one of my goals that is actually a challenge, pretty good challenge. It's not as easy as like making sure I listen to audiobooks. It's pretty easy. I enjoy doing that. But a challenging goal for me this year is to save $40,000 this year. That's a lot of money. And it is a challenge, and it is just out of our reach of what we can do. It is going to be a challenge. And I have to know ultimately why I'm doing that. And if it's just $40,000, if it's just paying off your debt, if it's just, you know, something rigid like that, you're gonna give up when it gets hard because it doesn't have a purpose. So our goal, yes, is to save $40,000, but the reason behind it is so much more important than the money amount. This money is for our future home, our future land, right? Our dreams. That's what it's for. Okay. So when I start to go over budget on my groceries, or I start to order one more stupid thing on Amazon that I don't really need, I start to, you know, go on Amazon Prime and buy a movie or rent a movie that I don't really need to watch. I could just go watch something on Netflix that I've already paid for, whatever it is. I have to remember ultimately why I'm sticking to my budget, why I'm saving this money in the first place, because it's so much bigger than just splurging this little tiny $10 purchase that I don't really need. It's about my dream of this home for my family, okay? So I'll link to that article as well, all right? But I think that the biggest thing to take away from this, and I'm going to give you my action steps, so don't tune out yet. But I think that the biggest takeaway that I want you guys to have from this message is just don't quit, you guys. Don't be a statistic. Realize that slow progress is still progress, and that we are literally riding the waves of life. This metaphor has helped me so much in my anxiety and getting better mentally with my mental health and all the things, is to imagine yourself riding the waves. There are going to be ups and there are going to be downs, and that's just the way life works. That's just the way the waves go. So you're going to have times with your goals that you feel like you're at the top of the wave and things are great and you're way up. Look, you're actually doing it, and so exciting. And then the wave is going to break and you're going to fall. But that's okay, because that's the way it's supposed to happen. And you pick yourself back up, you ride back up to the top of another wave, and look, you did it again. But even better, not only did you get to the top of the wave, but you survived the fall from the first wave. So you get to carry that with you, and so on and so forth. Okay? And you build on this. And you realize that it's not easy for anyone. Everyone is riding the waves of life. But it's up to you if you get back up for that second wave or if you let yourself drown. No one is going to save you except yourself. There will be other people there along the way to cheer you on, to support you, to be excited for you when you get to the top of the wave, and to encourage you to get back up when you fall. But ultimately, it is up to you. if you get back up for that second wave, or if you just lay there and let it crash over you. Okay? It's not easy for anyone. It's not an overnight process for anyone. No one, we didn't get lucky and get out of debt. You know, we didn't get lucky and save our marriage from all of the struggles that it was going through in the midst of all of this craziness in our lives. We worked for it, and it was hard. So if you feel like it's hard and you feel like I'm just not getting anywhere, it was must have been so easy for everyone else. It's not true. It was hard for everyone else. They struggled. They fell. They picked themselves back up. They cried. They got bored. They got depressed. All the things. You guys, we're human. This is life. All right? So I want to share with you my action steps. So you're getting like three sources of action steps. Don't let that overwhelm you though, okay? Pick the ones that, or the one, it doesn't even have to be multiple, the one that sparks the most excitement for you, the most motivation, and run with it, okay? I'm giving more than one example, more than one action step right now, because I know that different things are going to spark motivation for different people. Okay, so these are tangible action steps. These are things that you can do right now, today, this week, to make progress, okay? So, number one, which we're going to get all up in our feels, like we like to do, is love yourself, all right? I think that, especially as women, our self-worth is so... Why are we so hard on ourselves? We don't feel like we're worthy. Why? So if you haven't written out your goals, if you haven't written out your why, if you don't know why you're doing this, if you don't know what your dreams even are, do it. Love yourself. Know that your dreams matter. And then, shout out to my mother for this one. Because she did this and I thought it was amazing and I was so proud of her. She was feeling a little down, a little kind of beating herself up for some things, and she decided to write out her achievements to say, you know what, this might right now might be hard, but I've done a lot of really great things in my life that I should really be proud of because I'm pretty awesome. And just kind of giving yourself that moment of achievement, of being proud of yourself. Clap for yourself, okay? Make a list of the things that you've done. You know, my mom's list was like, I've raised 3 children. She homeschooled us. She graduated 2 of us from homeschool. My littlest sister went back to public school. But she graduated 2 of us from homeschool. Like, that's huge. You know, all the businesses that she's ran, she's basically been an entrepreneur her entire life. All the businesses that she's ran, all of her years that her and my dad were married before he passed. And there were like 30 things on her list. And she was like, I'm pretty awesome. And I said, yeah, I knew that the whole time. But I wonder what all of our lists would look like if we were to write a list of things that we were proud of ourselves for. Right? So do that if you don't know. Right now, get out a piece of paper. Write things that you are proud of yourself for. There are other things that you can do to practice self-love, like carving out time in the day for you to have quiet time. Get up earlier, stay up later, make your kids lay down for a nap. Even if they're too big, even if they don't nap, make them have quiet time so you can have quiet time. Right? You've got to save yourself first. Love yourself first. read a book, listen to an audiobook, have podcasts going, have amazing music going, find time to meditate, find time to journal, make time to journal, make time to meditate, get a new hobby. The freer, the better, because you're probably on a budget, right? But there are so many things that you can do that are free or practically free. Invite a friend over, you know, go on a play date. Go for a walk. Get outside. Sit on your porch. Drink coffee outside. Like, love yourself. Because if we don't feel worthy, if we don't feel great in our own bodies, then why would we want to work on future us? Right now, us isn't even okay. Future you, whew, she's not even in the picture yet. We'll worry about her when we get there. Right now, you needs to be okay. All right? Number two, know your numbers. Know your numbers. Knowing is half the battle, as they say. Organize your bills. You know how much your bills are, when they're due. You're going to feel like that weight is going to be lifted off your shoulders because you just kind of dump all of this information on your spreadsheet, on your handwritten worksheets, whatever you use in your budgeting app, whatever it is. You know how much is due. You know when it's due. You know where it's going. You know which paycheck you're going to have to pay it out of. Get organized with your money. It's that simple. That's what a budget is. Stop psyching yourself out about it. Write it out. Be intentional. That's it. Add up your debt. You guys, I literally budgeted for 3 months, quote unquote budgeted, because it was kind of, you know, not a great budget, because I didn't even know how much debt I was in for the first 3 months of it because I was too scared to add it up. Just add it up. Rip the Band-Aid off. Put on your big girl pants. That's a huge first step. Because how can you pay it off when you don't even know how much it is? Right? Or start tracking your spending. Where is your money going? When you start tracking your spending, you basically are just writing down every single penny that you spend and where you spent it. And paying attention. And once you start doing this, the goal is to not just know where you're spending your money, but to start working to beat your normal. Okay? And I say beat your normal because you're not in competition with anyone but yourself. So it doesn't matter what so-and-so spends on their groceries. It matters what you spend on your groceries and whether or not it's too much. And if you're spending too much on your groceries, if you're spending $200 a week and you feel like that's too much, which I'm not saying it is or isn't, that's you. If you're spending $200 a week on your groceries and you feel like it's too much, try to spend $180. And then the next week, try to spend $160 or whatever the increments are. Track your spending, know where your money is going, and then try to do better. Simple. It's that simple. Don't psych yourself out about it. Take that one little step. Know your numbers. All right? Number three, take one small action step. Obviously, these are all kind of small action steps, but I needed a nice little heading for number three. So take one small action step. These are kind of all my miscellaneous, more or less. Make it a challenge. You know, I see so many people in the debt-free community making it a challenge. I have my Declutter Your Budget challenge. It's a challenge. It makes it more exciting. It gives you a deadline. It gives you an obstacle. It gets your competitive side out when it's a challenge. And it just honestly just makes it more fun. And if that's what you need, go for it. You know, challenges are designed to be a short time frame. So they're either a week or a month or something like that. And people do like no spend challenges. I've seen people do like a month and they'll have like a calendar And they'll put like a happy face or a sad face, like if they spend money or don't, you know, things like that. And they share it on social media for accountability, which you don't have to share it if you don't want to. But just some kind of tracker like that is really handy. Some people do pantry challenges where they force themselves to make meals out of things that are already in their pantry, already in their freezer, things like that. Like, use what you have before you buy more groceries and cleaning products, things like that. People do like no lunch out, like make it a challenge. Try to go a whole week without going out to lunch. Try to go a whole week or a whole month with only drinking coffee from home, like not going to Starbucks, not hitting the drive-thru at lunch, things like that. Or a water challenge where maybe you stop drinking sodas, maybe you stop drinking coffee, like whatever it is, and you drink water because water's practically free. And that's how you save money. Or you make a meal plan. You grocery shop intentionally. You use things from the pantry before you buy more. Or you start clipping coupons. I know clipping coupons sounds so cliche, but I literally had never clipped a coupon before I started budgeting because it just felt weird to me. So you can get, you know, the newspaper coupons. You can go to like coupons.com. There's all kinds of coupons online. You can get store coupons if you shop at somewhere like Kroger's that offers that. You know, and it's not going to be, it's clipping coupons is not going to make you a millionaire. But if you need one small step, one thing that you can do right now to make a little bit of progress, coupons are such an easy thing to do. Or kind of like what I said earlier, just staying home, you know, going home after work, going home after your kids get out of school. Staying home on the weekends, you know, watching Netflix, playing a board game, playing outside together, things like that, and not spending money. Eating at home, having activities at home, hanging out with friends at home. Stay home. You know, it is a small action step, but obviously it can save you so much money. If you go out to dinner, you take your family out to dinner for a $50 meal versus staying home and eating like a $5 or $10 dinner, like that's a huge amount of savings. So that might not feel like real progress, but it is real progress. It's small progress, but it still counts. It's still an action step. So remind yourself next time that you're sitting at home, you're a little bit bored, you kind of have that FOMO of like fear of missing out where you're just like, oh, it's the weekend. I wish I was doing something fun. I wish I was at such and such restaurant having dinner. Remind yourself that staying home is an action step. You're saving money. Okay. So number four, last tip is earn extra money. You know, the only two things that you can do is to cut back your spending or make more money. You can spend less or make more. Preferably, you can do both, right? So there's so many ways that you can make extra money. You can find things to sell, which I feel like is the easiest thing to do, especially if you are a parent that stays home with their kids, which is how I am and was when we first started. And I didn't work outside of the home, so I couldn't pick up overtime. I was already like taking care of my own kids. So working a part-time job or a weekend job, like, you know, or other things like that. I just felt that felt really overwhelming because our kids were so little at the time. So finding things to sell was like, that was my go-to for extra money. I could help with that. I could contribute to that with babies. Like while I'm holding the baby, I can do this. So it really worked hand in hand because we were on our journey with minimalism. We started minimalism and budgeting like right around the same time. So I was decluttering. I was taking action. I was getting my hands on the situation, like physically doing something as I was decluttering. And I knew, you know, I got to the point where I was picking out things to declutter that I knew I could make money with, that I knew I could sell. And I, you know, got better and better as I, you know, got more into selling things. But it was a win-win because I was decluttering. My house felt great. I had the extra money and I was just, I felt so in control because I'm getting my hands on the situation, you know? So you can sell things on Facebook Marketplace. Yes, it is a little bit of a pain to meet up with people, to have no shows, to have people lowball you on the price. Yes, I know, I've done it. But who cares if you're making money, right? Going and working an extra job or working over, that's going to be annoying too. It's not going to be super easy, but if you treat it like a job, if you treat it like an extra income, it's worth the hassle, I feel like. You know, or you could have a garage sale, especially like spring is coming up. The weather is going to start warming up. It's already warming up in lots of areas, you know, and go for it. Plan a garage sale. Give yourself a date. In X number of weeks, we're going to have a garage sale. We better hustle. We better get this house decluttered. We're going to find things to sell. You can sell things on Poshmark for clothes. I've never personally done it, but I know that there are a lot of people in the debt-free community that are hustling on Poshmark and selling clothes. They're reselling their clothes, or which is on my list to mention as well, is flipping things, buying things intentionally to resell them. And you can do this on any of these platforms, Facebook Marketplace, garage sales, Poshmark, eBay. You can buy things intentionally to resell. So a lot of people will go to like garage sales or like Goodwill or other kind of resale stores, and they'll find really low priced clothing or jewelry or other things, and they will find a different platform to sell them for more. So you can go to garage sale, find a piece of jewelry for like a dollar that is actually worth way more, resell it on eBay. There you go. Bam, you've made extra money. You can go to a garage sale or a resale shop, find a gently used coat or, you know, nice piece of clothing, sell it on Poshmark, sell it on eBay. Flip it. There are people who are literally side hustling this. There are people who do a full-time income, honestly, on this. This can totally be done. And I actually have a cheat sheet for this, a free download, which I will link to in the show notes, of my Flip Your Clutter into Cash workshop. I gave away this free cheat sheet. And I will give you guys this free cheat sheet if you're interested in it, on some ideas of things that you can sell, where you can sell them, and a little bit more on the cheat sheet. But there are other things you can do if you're not into selling things. You know, you can, maybe this is a season where you work extra hours, you start a side hustle business, you start babysitting, you start pet sitting. I know like every family situation is different. You know, your schedules are different. You have your children's ages, health issues, all the things. There's not really a one size fits all for earning extra money. I realize that. I know that. But I feel like where there's a will, there's a way. And with the internet, technology, and all of the resources that there are, that they're available, there are creative ways to make extra income. So, you know, whether it's online sales or a part-time job, a weekend gig, you're starting your own business, you know, just get creative with it. You know, start doing craft projects and reselling them on Etsy. If there's something that you like to do as a hobby that you know people would pay you for, if you bake, if you are a photographer or whatever it is, charge people, make money. If it's a hobby, if it's a talent, if it's a passion, if it's something that you just know will make a lot of money, you know, you can deliver pizzas. I've even heard, one of my favorite stories that I heard was of someone selling firewood. I thought it was a genius idea. They lived on, like they were like one of the last houses or the last house on this highway right before a campground. And so they set firewood out for sale, like at the end of their driveway. They did the honor system with the little drop box for the cash, so they could sell it even when they were at work. And they sold firewood from their driveway because they're right by a campground. And that's pretty awesome. And there's so many other things that you could do. You know, I think you just have to be creative. You have to have the motivation behind you to see the opportunities, to find them, to create them. Okay. So that's my last tip, you guys. I just want you guys to remember that these small intentional steps add up. Okay. And when you're doing this, when you're making extra money, when you're tracking your spending and you're trying to beat your normals, when you are doing a challenge and you're doing a pantry challenge and you're saving money on your groceries, whatever it is, if you are somehow creating extra money by either spending less or earning more or both, make sure that you are making an intentional plan for that extra money, that you're not just blowing it, that you're not letting all of that hard work go to waste, okay? And also know that so many of these tips can be translated into your other goals as well, not just money, about loving yourself, about feeling worthy, about taking small, actionable steps. You can apply this to every single goal that you have, whether it be a personal goal, a family goal, a work goal, financial goal, a health goal, on and on and on and on and on. Okay? Love yourself, feel worthy, write your goals out, take small action steps as you go. The whole point of this nearly hour-long episode is don't quit. Don't give up on yourself. Okay? You have this dream and this desire and this goal of something, this vision. And future you is counting on you. Future you is counting on present you to do this. She needs you. Okay? So don't quit on her. Don't quit on yourself. Don't let yourself fall into that 6-week rut, that 6-week statistic. You are not a statistic. You are better than that. You are stronger than that. And I just want you to know that and know that it's hard for all of us. You are not alone. We're riding the waves. There will be highs and there will be lows. We will get at the top of the wave and we will feel amazing just in time for the wave to crash. But it's up to you. If you lay there and let that second wave wash over you, or if you ride it back up to the top. Okay? You've got this. You can do this. Don't quit. Don't be part of that 80%. All right, you guys, check out the links that I put in the show notes to these articles that I referenced, to my free cheat sheet for my clutter into cash. Check out the blog that I have linked here for ways to create wiggle room in your budget. It's a huge list of ways that you can find extra money in your budget. It is kind of my catch-all. Every idea that I've had is on that list. Also, you guys, if you are really serious about getting your budget set up, your bills organized, your debt added up, your spending tracked and under control, and everything else, your savings, your mental, your money mindset, like all of the things, I would love to invite you to join me in my full budgeting course, Your Sunny Money Method, which I will link in the show notes if you're not familiar with it. It's 30 lessons. It is a go at your own pace, just full experience. And it's amazing, you guys. And it is life changing. There are literally families all over the world that are being changed because of this course. And I am just honored to be a part of that. Okay. And I would love to help you and your family on your journey, taking the next steps with getting your budget under control. All right, guys, this has been a long episode, but I feel like it was so, so important, so necessary. Thank you for sticking with me. You guys, share this episode. Don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already. Leave me some reviews. That kind of stuff is what helps this podcast grow. I am so grateful to have spent this hour with you. I'm so grateful that you were here, and thank you guys so much for sharing and subscribing and all of the things. All right, guys, I will talk to you guys next week. Bye, guys.